Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Welcome, everyone, to our Lemon Grove Candidates Forum. We are very pleased tonight to have our candidates running for the Lemon Grove City Council. We have with us Steve Fye, Jessica Heredia, Seth Smith, and Councilman George Gastel. Henry Magala will be our timekeeper this evening. So we want to welcome everyone here. Thank you so much for participating, which is so important in our democracy. And thanks to all of you on Facebook who are watching the live stream and all of the residents out there who sent in many wonderful questions. We don't have time for all of them, but we're going to fit in as many of them as we possibly can. So we're going to start with opening statements. If each one of you could tell us a little bit about yourself, including your most important qualifications or accomplishments, your major goals if you're elected or re-elected to the city council. Let's start with our incumbent, Councilman George Gastel, who is also a history professor. George, let's hear from you.
Okay, thank you. And I'm really glad I could do it in Zoom from my office. I'm running for one more term on the city council. And I was on the council from 2008 to 2016, and then I was out of office for 4 years, which it was a wonderful experience. And then I got back in 2020 in the midst of the pandemic back on the council. And it's been a challenging 4 years, but there's a lot to look forward to. And I'm really excited about the prospect of one more term. We have incredible challenges in Lemon Grove, as you know. We're repairing streets, we're rebuilding storm drains, we're upgrading parks, we're keeping our public safety as strong as possible, and we're balancing our budget. It's an ongoing challenge. And perhaps the most fundamental thing of all is our staff. I've made it my biggest priority, besides the budget, has been to maintain a strong professional staff. And I think it's safe to say that I'm known as one of the council members that backs up our professional staff and really supports our staff and understands that government is people, and we have to value the people that work for us and do the work for our community.
Thank you very much. And Steve Fye, let's hear from you.
Thank you, Miriam. First of all, I just want to say thank you for what you do for our community. Thank you, East County Magazine, for what you do for our community. I really appreciate it. I think all of us in East County benefit from your great work. So thank you for that. My name is Steve Fye, and I'm a father. I'm a husband of 21 years to my wife, Lauren. I have two sons, Cameron and Riley. I'm actually up in Azusa, California right now, visiting my son, Cameron, in college. But I'm also a football coach. I'm also a football coach at a local high school called Helix High School. And
Scotty's my alma mater.
Yes, once to Scotty, always a Scotty. But I coach at Helix, and you know, people ask me, Miriam, as I go door to door, you know, why the heck are you running for Lemon Grove City Council? And to be honest with you, I coach students who and athletes who live in Lemon Grove. And so, I think about, you know, their future, and I think about the state of our city and where we're at as a city. And we have to change the trajectory of where our city is now. If we're 10 years, 20 years from now, we want our youth to be successful. I mean, they're the future leaders of our city. So if we want them to be successful, we have to do the necessary work now so that in 10, 20 years, when they take over, when we hand off the baton, our city's healthy and we're thriving and we're in good shape for them to move forward.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. And next up is Jessica Heredia. Jessica's a small business owner, and full disclosure, she has been a reporter for East County Magazine covering Lemon Grove in the past, which is why, in all fairness, we're asking same questions of everybody, no favoritism tonight. Jessica, let's hear your opening statement.
Well, thank you, Miriam. I'm Jessica Heredia, and I'm a East County native. I came to Lemon Grove about 4 years ago with this burning desire of seeing change. When I started going to the council meetings, I, you know, immediately I started watching them actually during lockdown. So we were doing Zoom. And when the meetings went back to in person, they had no option for anybody handicapped or working parent who couldn't go in person. And I found that we were the only city in East County that wasn't providing a live streamed version of our meeting. My roommate's handicapped. She's missing a leg and is in a wheelchair. It's not a convenience for her to be able to go to in person to the meeting. So I started live streaming it on Facebook. Then I started a YouTube channel. You can go to Lemon Grove Media and Communications to find all the meetings video recorded for you and a catalog of them. I would like to see a lot of change in the downtown area as a business owner. That's a very passionate part for me. I, like Steve Fayai, would like to see our rec center and our senior center open. I believe that one of the things that starts with homelessness is to start at the root of the problem. And mentoring and fostering our youth is such a big opportunity, just because it's what we should be doing, but also because it does actually start helping us at the root of the problem. I look forward to being your next council member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next up, let's hear from Seth Smith, who is chair of Lemon Grove Planning Commission, and he's also an architectural designer and project manager. Seth? May you have your opening statement, please.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much, Miriam, and thank you to East County Magazine for hosting this forum. Once again, my name is Seth Smith. I am an architectural designer, and I have been working in the field of architectural design for 10 years. I also have a degree focus in urban planning. And being both an architectural designer and being on the Lemon Grove Planning Commission as its chairperson, I have the unique experience of being on both sides of the permitting process for businesses, for buildings coming into Lemon Grove, or either for businesses or for residents. And in my time in Planning Commission, I have been able to approve over 150 homes for residents in Lemon Grove, doing my part to help us meet our regional housing needs assessment numbers. I very much look forward to being able to continue doing that work as a city council person. And I believe that Lemon Grove is on the upswing, and that with some professional care and attention to the general plan, our zoning codes, streets, sidewalk, and sidewalks, we can enhance our local economy while meeting the goals of our community.
Very good. Thanks to all of you for your opening statements. Infrastructure is a huge concern of many Lemon Grove residents, including roads and sidewalks. And now after those January floods, everybody's talking about storm drains. So what needs to be done to prevent future flooding? And what ideas do you have for improving other infrastructure in the city, or prioritizing what infrastructure, you know, should be taken care of? 1 minute on this one. Coach Faye, may we hear from you, please?
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Miriam, for the question. Listen, it's known that infrastructure, right? We take care of our infrastructure. We take care of everything else is kind of like, you know, we have to start with our infrastructure. I just was on the Zoom before this, Miriam, and I'm hearing that there's $5.4 million that's going to be used soon to work on some of the infrastructure around the city. What puzzles me, Miriam, is why now? Like, where was the $5.4 million a year ago or 2 years ago? It seems like it's one of those political ploys where we're putting in the $5.4 million now to kind of get everybody riled up and get everybody excited about the infrastructure that should have been done. Listen, Miriam, let's not beat around the bush, okay? Every single year or every single election time, everybody talks about infrastructure and nobody ever does anything about it.
Okay, thank you very much. Jessica, may we hear your thoughts on infrastructure, please?
Yes, I will say that I've gone door to door. I've talked to several residents that have told me over and over the same story about their streets not ever being repaved in the 30 to 40 years that they've lived there. I've recently traveled to Tijuana. The streets in Tijuana were better than the streets in Lemon Grove. We always talk about how we're going to do more for the streets and how we've increased or bettered our street paving plans. But the problem is that there's really just a lack of moving things forward in the city. And so it took them 2 years just to get a bid on a recent street project that's part of their bragging rights during this election, saying that they've done more segments of streets when in reality the streets aren't paved. So oftentimes they'll even get bids that they reject or whatever. I've been driving down the streets. I see we don't have drainage that even goes into our storm drains. So that's partly why our streets flooded during January. I want to see better oversight in the plans that we have and create more comprehensive plans for all of our infrastructure. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Jessica. And Seth, may we please hear from you on the all-important infrastructure issue?
Absolutely. As some of you know, and some may not, the city currently has a pavement plan that is focused on doing streets that are around parks and schools and focusing on some of our major collector streets. And what I would propose to do in addition to that is take a percentage of those funds and send them over to some of our residential streets that would otherwise not be on the top of that list. Because I think a lot of the concerns that we're seeing is that more of our busy streets are getting done and less of the streets, say, and on roads that people travel on the day-to-day and their residential neighborhoods aren't. And so if we can allocate some of those funds to those projects, I believe we'll have our residents feeling much better about the progress we're making. And as far quickly on the storm drain situation, I think as we're getting these streets done, and especially some of the streets where we have to grind down and rebuild from the bottom up, we have an opportunity there to work on our storm drains and really get that figured out during our street repairs. So we have an opportunity there.
Very good. Thank you for sharing that. George, can you give us your thoughts on infrastructure?
Yeah. Well, one of the really important things is money. And I can tell you why we're doing a lot right now. It's because we have money from the American Rescue Plan, also known as ARPA. And we're currently using about $4 million worth of ARPA funds to do 71 segments, which are basically blocks. And before ARPA, there was SB 1, Senate Bill 1, which is also known as the gas tax. Everything we do has to have a funding stream. Okay. And I can't emphasize enough that if we're going to improve our infrastructure, which we're doing right now, if we're going to continue improving our infrastructure, we have to get the money. And I want to encourage people to vote yes on Measure T, because Measure T is a way that we could get $5.9 million, that's an estimate, a year, that we'd be able to put toward infrastructure. Okay.
Thank you. We will have a question on the ballot initiative for the rest of you. Moving on to homelessness, another major issue in Lemon Grove. Lemon Grove has over 200 homeless residents currently. So I would like to hear from each of you what solutions you support to address the homelessness issue, including what your views are on the sleeping cabins project that the county wants to open in Lemon Grove, and any other thoughts that you have for reducing homelessness and getting help for homeless folks in our city. Jessica, it's your turn to go first.
Okay. I would first like to address the sleeping cabins that are being proposed to come to Lemon Grove. First of all, I want to speak publicly that I'm against that project, especially here in Lemon Grove. I feel that it's not the right location. We're putting this right next to a brand new, first of its kind in the state of California, early transitional educational building. It's 1,500 feet. There's also a liquor store and a massage parlor right across the street. Those three things right there are enough for everybody to agree that this is not the spot for it. However, I'm very sympathetic to the homeless. I volunteer often with my friend Teresa Rosiak, who does the only outreach here in Lemon Grove because we didn't fund it last year, any homelessness outreach. And we get occasionally Home Start will come when they tear down an encampment. But as far as real routine, that's our only one. So I volunteered there. I understand who our homeless are. These tiny cabins are not to address our homelessness. They are going to bring in people outside of Lemon Grove. Secondly, when it comes to other opportunities here in Lemon Grove, I do believe we do have two opportunities for safe parking. I've gone and visited the Spring Valley Safe Parking, and it looks like a really great program that could be done under our brand new LED sign. It does not butt up to housing. It's right by the trolley and has great access to services. Or our HHS building, Health and Human Services, has a great parking lot that's very underutilized. And again, it wouldn't be any different than the sleeping cabins. It would, the sleeping cabins, let's be very honest, they get to go in, they sleep in there, and then in the morning they have to leave again. That's not solving homelessness. I'd like to focus those resources with a regional plan with the East County and do more treatment facilities, as well as actual shelters that actually house people.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jessica. Seth, could you share your thoughts on how to address the homelessness problem in Lemon Grove, please?
Definitely. So first of all, as far as the sleeping cabins go, I think it's a premature thing to make a decision on it now, as the county has not yet put out a plan or hasn't given renderings, hasn't given very specific details of exactly what's going to happen on this site. And so I would like to see more development come from the county. And the most important thing there is that Lemon Grove needs to be at the table. This is county land on a county project. And if we want to make sure that our residents are being served, we need to be able to ask for that at the table. If we want to make sure that someone who may be experiencing homelessness in Lemon Grove has preference in any project that takes place, we need to be at the table to ask for it. So the very first thing we need to do is make sure we have a good relationship with our county supervisor to make sure that that happens. And I will say, as a planning commission chairperson, I approved a homeless overlay zone near the county health and human services building for precisely the reason that it is near services. So if we're going to house people who need services someplace, we very much want them to be near the services that they need. That is the plan that I think Lemon Grove would benefit from pursuing, and that we're keeping all of our services together in one place so that we can help people get from the street to temporary housing and then back onto their feet into their own home.
Very good. Thank you, Seth. And Councilman Gastel, what would your plan be for addressing homelessness in Lemon Grove?
Yeah, it has to be in collaboration. The county has the greatest budget and resources and professional ability to deal with the issue, but Lemon Grove also has a huge role. Our role in many cases is connecting people with services that are offered either by the county or by nonprofit organizations. One of the tools that we have is our contract with the deputy sheriffs, and I think it's particularly important that we utilize them to connect people, to help connect people to services. We used to have a program called Home Start that helped a lot of people in Lemon Grove. And I'd like to find the funding to bring it back, or a similar program that can actually help people find housing as well as help people deal. Sometimes they have issues that led to them being homeless that need to be addressed as well. But it's really all about connecting people to services. Lemon Grove is never going to be the primary provider of services, but we do have a key role in connecting people to services, and with both the stick and the carrot, making sure that our people have a way of accessing services that will make a difference in their lives. I think it's important that the sleeping cabins be on our agenda, and I think it's important that Lemon Grove be at the table. As Seth said, we don't build shelters. We don't even get to say if there is a shelter, but we can have a role in advising the county, and also a role in making sure that Lemon Grove people, our residents, are served effectively by whatever is built, whether it's a shelter or something else in the vicinity. Our role is to connect people to the services that are available.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Steve, could we hear your thoughts, please, on what to do about homelessness?
Yes, absolutely. I agree with Seth and with Councilmember George. Listen, this thing should have been at the table from the get-go. I think we went about it all backwards, and then it just caused so much commotion and turmoil within our community. And it was unfair to our community that this thing wasn't put on the agenda from the get-go. So there was no clear understanding of what was going on. And so, you know, the decision is like, here's what I think. Me personally, I think the tiny sleeping cabins is a band-aid. You know, we're not addressing the main issues. We're not addressing the main issues like, mental illness or just the drug problems. And I agree with George. Listen, We have to figure out the services. We have to exhaust every single option that we have afforded to us, so that way we can get the people, first of all, the homeless residents in Lemon Grove taken care of first before we take care of anybody else. We got to take care of our own home before we take care of anybody else. So I don't think the tiny cabins, honestly, just don't serve. There's no dignity in going to a tiny cabin, sleeping there, and then waking up in the morning being forced back out into the street. That makes absolutely no sense. What we have to do is, I served peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and water every Friday to the homeless in downtown. If you talk to them, majority of them say they don't want help. Majority of them are just fine being homeless. And so we have to figure out how we can get the people who need help the help that they deserve. And the tiny cabin, the sleeping cabin, just isn't the right solution.
Thank you very much. I have a follow-up question on the homelessness. I actually went out with Teresa Rosiak and met with and interviewed some of the homeless, not all of them certainly, but a number of the homeless in Lemon Grove. Most of them actually did say, you know, they would love to go into shelter if one was available, but I know not everyone does. But what I learned was that some of them told me that they have to wait a month or more for a mobile shower to come around. And also that on these days when it's very hot or when it's rainy, there is no place for them to get out of the elements or the heat. You know, it gets pretty hot out there in a tent. So my question to you, we'll take a minute each on this, is number one, do you think Lemon Grove should have some kind of a day center or a rec center or someplace open where people can go, homeless people can go when there's extreme weather? And secondly, is there any way to offer them showers, maybe opening, I don't know, showers in a rec center or something for once a week or a little more often than once a month, perhaps? Seth, your turn to tackle this one first. 1 minute.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. I do think that we could have a mobile shower trailer come. And the key there is going to be consistency. Having it in the same place at the same time, whatever regularity it is, whether it be once a week or every other week. We also need to make sure that we do have some place for our homeless neighbors to go and be able to get services. So, and if we are to open up, say, a rec center or something similar so that we can provide those services, one of the great things to have there would be to have an internet connection, because many people who are without shelter do have phones, and that is one way to access services or fill out the forms that you would need to access services. So if we can have a place to bring people in from the rain or in from the heat, and possibly have a social services worker there to help them navigate those services while they are in that space, I think that would benefit us greatly.
Very good. Thank you. And George, your thoughts on those points?
Yeah, I think it's an intriguing idea. I think consistency is really important. Whatever we start, we have to be able to continue. We should be very mindful that we want to help people, but we also don't want to become a magnet for more than we can handle. So we'd have to have some way of channeling and limiting and, you know, focusing where we're helping and putting limits on it, definitely limits on the hours that such a thing would be open. But I think it's a great idea. And I also think that there are nonprofit organizations, there are grants out there that we could go after that could help pay for such a thing. We should be considering a foundation that could channel philanthropy toward our homeless here in Lemon Grove. Not an original idea, but it's something that we probably could be doing more focused on Lemon Grove, because there are quite a lot of people that want to help unsheltered individuals. And if they see an opportunity to do it in Lemon Grove, that could be something really positive.
Steve, may we please hear from you about your thoughts about, you know, showers or day centers for homeless folks in Lemon Grove?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe we have 33 plus churches in the 3.5 square miles of Lemon Grove. I think if we were to do something such as that, I think it would be great to involve them and to find out ways that we can involve them and support them. And because, you know, I agree, I don't want to be a magnet for, you know, like I said before, I really want to take care of our neighbors who live in Lemon Grove first. So whatever that is, I believe that there are churches that we can partner with in our community that would be glad to come alongside us and be able to help us out in that endeavor.
Thanks so much. Jessica, what are your thoughts on those ideas?
Yes, we do have quite a few churches. I can't remember. Last I heard was 27, but I'll go with 30. also, we have so many great, wonderful service groups. And I know I was a former president of the Lemon Grove Forward Club, which is part of the Women's Club. And this was actually one of the initiatives we had looked into as a continual service, not necessarily weekly, because it's hard to get the showers, to be honest with you. But I do know that there is a church service out there that pulls together. I think it's Cornerstone, I believe, is the name of the church. And they do one at least once or twice a year, right at the promenade. The only thing I would say is that we could maybe do a better job of getting the information to our homeless in the weeks coming up to it. Maybe we could organize better as a community to get that information to people. Also, as far as cool zones, the public library is a cool zone and the homeless are absolutely welcome inside.
Thank you very much. Moving on, Lemon Grove has long had budget issues since it is a small city with a smaller budget and fewer revenues than the larger cities in East County and other places. So, 1 minute, do you favor or oppose having Lemon Grove remain an incorporated city? There's been some who favor disincorporation. Do you support or favor disincorporation? George, your turn to lead off.
Wonderful. Believe it or not, I was living in La Mesa when Lemon Grove became a city back in 1977. And I remember it as a La Mesan. And this, I saw Lemon Grove grow as, you know, from a slight distance long before I knew I was going to end up moving there. Lemon Grove is such a special place. And I think that we totally need to be a city. Since Lemon Grove became a city, we've had more control over our land use, more ability to shape our destiny. And some people say that, well, we're too small, or we're too poor, or we're too this, or we're too that. But the fact is, we're Lemon Grove, and we do the best we can, and we're probably better off if we continue to be a city. I do think that revenue is absolutely key, and I think that another penny on the sales tax will make a huge difference in us being the strong, vibrant city that we want to be. And I want to add that the San Diego County Taxpayers Association, a while back, they were saying maybe we shouldn't be a city, but they've come around to saying that Lemon Grove is a city that can be a great city.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Let's hear from you, Steve, on the question of, is there any more reason to consider disincorporation, or should Lemon Grove stay an incorporated city?
I think I love Lemon Grove. I love our city, and I love the potential that we have to get better and to grow. Miriam, I don't know if you know this, but we have amazing, you know, just amazing volunteers who, you know, who serve throughout our city, people who live in Lemon Grove, who are passionate about their city. And so there's so much buy-in from just organizations in and through our city. I mean, we have neighbors who see trash and they group up and they pick it up, you know, that without anybody asking. And that's because they love our city. And so I think it's important that we let our city be the city. We let our people, it's important that we let our community thrive in what they want to do within our city. I don't want anybody telling us what to do, because it's Lemon Grove, it's our city.
Thank you very much, Steve. And Jessica, let's hear your thoughts on disincorporation.
Yes, if I was for disincorporation, I wouldn't be up here fighting to be on the city council, to be quite frank. I do hear the community, and there is a portion of the community that is very for it. Now, I have looked up the history of why we incorporated back in 1977. And ironically, it was because we weren't happy with the way the county was controlling our development here, and the permit processing took too long. Well, here we are, 40 something years later, and we are at the same crossroad. And this is why so many people have spoken for disincorporation. I believe that with new leadership, we can take this city into a really great place where we don't even think about disincorporation anymore.
Okay. And Seth, your thoughts on that? Go ahead.
All right. I believe that Lemon Grove should stay a city. As was said, Lemon Grove Incorporated, because we wanted more control over our planning policies, our zoning policies, our land use. We wanted to have more representation, which we get having a city council of our own. And disincorporation isn't as simple as some people would say it is. has to go through LAFCO, which is a whole process on its own, needs to get voted on. And the debts that the city has don't just go away. Those get added on as taxes. So that's something to consider. I'd also like to point out that in this campaign, both the Droidia and FYI campaigns have received a significant contribution from an individual who's been calling for the disincorporation of Lemon Grove for many years. And I think even in local races, it's important to know where the money comes from.
Okay, and speaking of money, as Councilman Gastel brought up earlier, there is a sales tax measure on the ballot that would raise the sales tax by a penny and bring in some revenues. I would like to hear from each of you whether you support or oppose it and why. And also, Georgia kind of already answered that one. Could you also address if you have any other ideas for how to raise revenues and improve the economy of Lemon Grove? It is Steve's turn to go first. Steve, we'll do a minute on this one.
73 to 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And I'm willing to bet that's more in our in the 3.5 mile radius that we of city of Lemon Grove. And here's the thing. To me right now, it makes no sense. To me right now, it makes no sense for us to go to raise it a penny, because here's our people are already trying to make ends meet. And for us to put another strain on them. And the thing is too, like, we need to think about, like, okay, if we're going to raise this tax, it needs to go somewhere. And for some reason, it seems like if it's going to go to the general fund, it makes no sense. People need to see the return on their investment. This tax is an investment of our community. And the other thing we have to think about, Miriam, is have we talked to our businesses, and are our businesses supportive of it? Because it affects them as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Jessica, your thoughts on the sales tax or bringing in revenues for the city?
Right. So fundamentally, I'm not against necessarily the sales tax. I realize that Lemon Grove could use more money and that there's awesome things we could do if we had it. My problem with Measure T was that there was not thorough outreach in the community as far as a workshop was concerned. They polled, I believe it was 130 residents. That's not nearly enough for me to feel comfortable with that. Also, they really didn't get the business community as well as the residents, the workshop, to talk about the things we should focus on. If you read the measure, it's very vague. It goes to the general fund. It says a bunch of things we could do, might do. We'll let you know. Okay. And we know in Lemon Grove that we see this often and it doesn't really bode well for the community. We don't end up getting any of the things that we think we're going to get. And so I would just like to say that if it does pass, I want to make sure that there's a very rigorous oversight committee that isn't council friends only, because that's a problem we have here in Lemon Grove too with the planning commission and other commissions. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Seth, could we please hear from you about the sales tax and revenue ideas for Lemon Grove?
Yeah, I support Measure T. I believe that there was enough outreach done. Three different surveys were put out, and we found that 69% of the people surveyed were in favor of doing a 1 cent increase on our sales tax. And honestly, if you look at La Mesa, the 1 cent increase in the sales tax is the difference between what La Mesa has and what Lemon Grove has. So we are the lowest funded city per capita in the county of San Diego. We are the only city in the only city outside of Santee in the East County who doesn't already have a revenue generating measure, and Santee has it on a ballot this year as well. So small and medium cities across the size cities across the board are having trouble funding their services, and we desperately need to generate the revenue to keep up with those services and then to get some of the things that we want to have rather than just the things that we need to have.
Yeah, they could certainly have a community discussion, if it passes, about what people think should be prioritized to use the money for, I suppose. George, could we please hear from you about the sales tax and any other ideas you have for bringing in revenues?
Right. The general sales tax, officially known as the transactions and use tax, that's the kind of tax that El Cajon has, National City has, La Mesa has. Imperial Beach passed it with 70%. That's a city that's a lot like us. It's the same kind of thing, and it's benefiting those cities. We're not a particularly poor community. We're not a wealthy community, but we're not that far from the average in terms of our income and our ability to generate income. What sets us apart is that we haven't done what several other cities have done. And it's important. The $5.9 million could be a game changer, okay? I take some great pride in helping design Measure T and also in bringing it to the Regional Chamber of Commerce, East County Regional Chamber of Commerce, getting their support. They represent a lot of businesses in the region. San Diego County Taxpayers Association, they don't support every tax measure. They support ours, and they wrote an entire report about how it'll make a huge difference for our city.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on. The next question, we'll do a minute and a half on this, is the state is urging all cities to increase housing, especially affordable housing. And while the needs are very significant, there have also been concerns by some over older affordable housing, you know, being torn down to make way for higher end homes or businesses. So I would like to know, what are your priorities for housing in Lemon Grove? Starting with Jessica Heredia.
Yes, thank you very much. I really like to come at housing with a very diverse approach. I'd like to see that we have low income, we have moderate income, and we have market value rentals as well as home ownership here. I hate to see businesses torn down and residents torn down, like what Seth voted against, luckily, but our planning commission and George Gastel on the City Council did vote for, was it Raising Cane's and a car wash, which is displacing many residences and business longtime business owners, too. I had a problem with that. One of the things that is part of that problem is that our zoning is so outdated, and we really are limited into the way that we can stop some of these projects, unfortunately. And that project was not, it didn't belong in the place that they put it. And I have a vision for our downtown that would increase that vision to be on the west side of the tracks as well. I think that with housing, I'd like to see a lot more multi-use, and I want to not take away from the residents in the real residential areas. We're starting to see some of these higher, bigger complexes starting to move into the residential area. There's one right by my house, actually, that's brand new. And it's not necessarily, I don't think, the best way to do our planning. I think we should leave it high residencies like that into areas where there's a little bit more traffic capabilities. Some of these residential streets don't have sidewalks. They don't have, you know, speed bumps, and they're already used as main corridors.
Very good. Thank you, Jessica. Steve, your approach to housing, please.
Miriam, would it be okay if I have to make my closing statement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steve had told us today that he has, Steve Fii, that he had, and his wife are going to his child's, or is it son or daughter's college?
My son, yeah.
Big college event tonight. They've got to be at. So he, with apologies, he needs to leave early. I will say that if after we post the live stream on our site today or so, if you want to go in the comments section and post your answers to any of the questions that you didn't get to participate in, we'll be happy to put those up. So Steve, we'll let you go on and do your closing comment.
Okay. Listen, on page 20, you know, I've been studying the budget and the finances of Lemon Grove, but on page 20 of the consolidated operating capital budget on our website, there's an organizational chart. And the organizational chart says Lemon Grove constituents and then everybody else. So I think what's happened is we forget that we work for the people, that we serve the people. The best way that we can make Lemon Grove better is serving the people and their needs. We have to address the needs of the people. I have no aspirations to be a career politician, but I do believe that I can bring the energy, I can bring the leadership, and I can bring the focus and the heart and the passion to move our city forward. Our city deserves it. Like I mentioned earlier, the future of Lemon Grove deserves it. Our youth deserve it. And here's the thing too, you know, going back into what drives our city, I remember playing softball at the Lemon Grove Rec Center years ago. And after your softball game, you would say with your buddies, hey, 11, 12 guys, and you would say, hey, let's go grab something to eat. Guess where we would grab something to eat? We would grab something to eat in Lemon Grove. We're not going to drive somewhere else. And so we underestimate the power of what an open rec center can be for our community. AYSO soccer is the most watched and played sport in the world. And we have no AYSO soccer league in our community. And I believe if we open the rec center, in addition to opening the senior center, our city can benefit from this. That's something that I'm thriving to happen because our youth deserve it. The future of Lemon Grove deserves it. And I think it'd do good for our city.
Very good. Thank you, Steve Fii, Coach Fii, for participating in the forum tonight. And we look forward to hearing more from you on those other issues in the comments section. Good luck at the college event and good luck in your race. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
Okay. George Gastel, Councilman Gastel. Let's go back to the housing question. Your views on prioritizing housing, including affordable housing in the city of Lemon Grove.
Right. First of all, I wasn't able to attend the meeting where the council voted on the Raising Cane's. I was recovering from COVID.
Thank you for correcting the record on that.
Yeah. And so whatever opinion I have wouldn't have been expressed. What I'll say on that is businesses are important, and the council has a role in, you know, in making sure that businesses fit the general plan and that they are in fact adding to the community. It's always a problem when you lose housing, and the housing that we lose from a project like that, I think it's important that we make it up somewhere else. And it's important that we be promoting housing, and we should make sure every year we have a net gain in housing. We have actually had a significant net gain. We're the only community that met all of our regional housing needs according to the state and regional guidelines. And that's something to be proud of. A wide range of housing options in Lemon Grove is something I want to promote. And it's particularly important that we update our general plan. The general plan was updated shortly after I moved to Lemon Grove 30 years ago. And I can tell you, we were a somewhat different community. I was a somewhat different person back then. So I'm really eager to see an update on the general plan.
Good point. Thanks so much. Seth Smith, let's hear from you on the housing issue.
All right. Yeah, I 100% agree with George. We definitely need to update our general plan. We need to look at our specific plans, and we need to look at our zoning ordinances. My professional experiences in getting in both market rate and affordable housing units is to incentivize them through zoning codes. City of San Diego does this quite well, where they will allow some additional units on projects that are allowed to be a bit more dense if you are going to allow those units to have some affordability to them. There is a range in there, but I think we can do a lot in trying to incentivize that kind of building. And I realize that geographically, we're not the largest city, but I do believe that we have enough room to have a bit of everything for everybody. We don't need to be putting in our 4-over-1, these 5-story buildings in our residential areas. We have space for that on our freeway corridor, and that's really an appropriate place for them. So we have space for those kind of apartments. We have space for townhomes. We have space for single family homes. Again, I truly believe that with our general plan, zoning ordinance, and specific plan updates, we can have a little bit of everything for everybody.
Very good. Thanks so much, Seth. I would like to ask, I will say as media, it's tough covering meetings when there's no videos of them, especially if we have a reporter who's maybe ill or there's 3 council meetings in East County going on the same night. So I would like to ask, if you're elected or reelected, would you commit to try to get videotaping, live streaming, but also a videotape, you know, for those that aren't able to watch it live, of the city council meetings? It is the only city council in East County that doesn't currently do videotaping. George, we'll let you take that one first.
Yeah, it's in the priorities for this year. So we're already committed to it. I actually checked with the city manager to see how we're doing on progress, and she's pretty sure it'll be done within a year. So the city's already committed to it. We might have the oldest building of the East County cities. We do have the lowest per capita revenue of the cities. So I'm not sure. Until we have revenue that's similar to the other East County cities, I'm not sure we should always be comparing ourselves. But I think I totally agree that live streaming is something that we would all benefit from. It doesn't come without a cost, though. And what people call the PEG funds doesn't actually cover all of the ongoing costs. So we do have to be mindful. It'd probably be in the tens of thousands every year that it will cost us. I think it's worth it, especially if we have more revenue in the city. I think it's worth it. And I think it's an asset for our city.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I should point out that while it does cost quite a bit of money to do a real professional setup, you know, where they've got superior miking capability for everybody and all the voices are even, even having someone stand there with a video camera, you know, like we've had people, reporters do at some meetings, is helpful. The sound may not be perfect, but at least you can tell who's speaking, and it gives you an idea of, you know, who's coming up to the podium. It's something. It's better than nothing. And that doesn't necessarily have to have a cost while you're waiting the 1 year to come up with the funds, you know, for something better. Just something to consider. Jessica, your thoughts on the videotaping of meetings?
Well, as I mentioned earlier in my opening, I've been doing that for 3 years, and it's been on the priorities list for 2 of those years now, and we still aren't moving forward. Secondly, the PEG funds, we have collected over $400,000 in PEG funds that are specifically for a project just like this. These are fees that people pay in their cable and internet bills, to specifically give public education of government through either a designated channel on Cox Cable or another cable provider, or through as simple as we're doing right now and on their own website and on a Facebook page, which is what La Mesa does. I did do a public records request with the school district as they were doing live video recording, and they told me it cost them, I believe, $50,000 in setup, and it was $25,000 annually for payroll. So we can do it for nothing to, or minimal to nothing. And it's time for no more excuses for some of the simplest things. So I advocate strongly for that. It'll be one of the first things that I start trying to push the city management toward pursuing.
Thank you, Jessica. Seth, what are your thoughts about videotaping and live streaming meetings?
I would very much like the meetings to be videotaped and live streamed. One of the things that was most convenient, I guess, out of the inconvenient time that COVID was, is that we got our city council meetings on Zoom, and we had our planning commission meetings on Zoom. And I felt that we had a whole lot of access on there that I honestly miss in the planning commission meetings that we have now. So I would love for that access to be out there. I think that having that access generates more community input. With more community input, we can make more informed and better decisions. And so I 100% agree. We need to get our meetings live streamed and recorded.
Yay, something everyone agrees on. I would like next to ask each of you, what is your vision for enhancing the business community in Lemon Grove, including both retaining existing businesses? We've had some readers, you know, voice concerns about some businesses leaving town, and also attracting new businesses, including things like quality restaurants and retail outlets and so forth. Seth, your turn to go first on the business question.
All right. As far as keeping our news businesses in there, I think that's one of the things that we need to use revenue from Measure T to do. In doing that, we're going to be able to update our downtown area, help repair those streets or those sidewalks, get things up to current code and ADA standards. Also with that money, I think we may be able to find a way to, if some of you don't know, the south side of Broadway is not city-owned property, so it can't be maintained. And so if the city were to have an easement or that purchase agreement with the owners, then that's something that we could maintain and help uplift that part of Broadway. As far as bringing new businesses in, I think that's also a revenue issue. We are severely short-staffed in City Hall, and with short staff means we have longer permit times. So what we need to do is we need to bring in staff. We need to keep staff in city so that we build up our institutional knowledge so that we can have people available for our businesses to communicate with, to help navigate through the permitting process, and to really expedite those decisions and review processes. So something that Measure T is going to be incredibly valuable for in both updating our downtown area to keep businesses and bring businesses in with improved services.
Very good. Thank you, Seth. And let's see, Jessica, your thoughts on improving the business climate in Lemon Grove?
Yes. One of the things that we do need to do is streamline our permit processes. I know La Mesa just recently did that. We do outsource some of our permitting, and so that's creating quite a bit of backlog. Recently, there was a business who had all of its engineering plans lost by the city. That's a big concern. So we need to really hone in on that and make sure that we're doing better customer service. One of the things that I am, as a 26-year business owner, I'm very big on business. I'm a member of the La Mesa Chamber. And I have created a Facebook and Instagram pages that support our businesses called Lemon Grove Support Local. One of the things that business owners have told me is that they don't feel heard or supported by the city. So I think if we can just use my connections of being friendly with the businesses, I'd like to go out there and personally champion for them and get them to be a little bit more on page with what the city is planning. I think a lot of times it's just we're not articulating it out loud with our business owners in a formal way. So just building relationships. It's very simple.
Go ahead, George. Please okay. Answer the
question. I think the most important thing of all to support business is to support our city. And that means public safety is 3/4 of the budget. Mm-hmm. And it benefits businesses just as much, or maybe even more than it benefits residents. So we've got to keep our public safety strong. I'm proud of the fact that I'm supported by the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the firefighters. I know I'm not the first person to say this, we have to have our strong professional staff. Our staff can help business, and they can help make the process easier for business. I think it'd be really good to look at some alternative ideas. If there's a city that's moving faster than we are on business, we should always be learning about that. I want to emphasize that our city is involved with East County Economic Development Council and East County Regional Chamber of Commerce. And through those organizations, we stay in touch with the bigger picture of businesses in the region. But I would like to see more communication at the micro level. I think that having gatherings of business people specifically in Lemon Grove would be a really good idea. And I think we should definitely be doing that very soon.
Very good. Thank you so much. Well, it's time for our closing statements now. And so what I would like to ask is if each of you could give us a 1-minute closing statement, include any key endorsements, and where people can learn more about your candidacy. And if you have an extra issue that we didn't think to ask about here, you know, we'll give you an extra 30 seconds if there's something that we left out that you just have a burning desire to let people know about, or some new ideas that you want to bring to the table if you are the next councilman or the reelected councilman in the city of Lemon Grove. Jessica, we'll let you go first on the closing statements.
Well, thank you again, Miriam, for hosting this very valuable candidate forum here for the Lemon Grove community. They don't get enough attention sometimes in the media, and we appreciate all that you have done for Lemon Grove. What I want to do now is talk to the voters. So I want to say to the voters that I'm looking to bring change to Lemon Grove. I am supporting a ticket of other candidates. I support Steve Fiai for city council and Leanna LeBaron for mayor. I believe that we, the three of us together, can bring change, because without three votes on city council that agree, you can't bring any change. And in years past, what we've seen is that there's generally not support for all the items that the public wants to hear. Often we get support for things that the city manager wants to be on the agenda, and we can't get anything agendized. Whereas La Mesa has council members agendized frequently without any static. I'd like to bring transparency back to Lemon Grove City Council and prosperity back to our families and our businesses. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Jessica. And Seth, may we please have your closing statement?
All right. Thank you again for hosting the forum. And I want to say that as I said before, I truly believe that though we're a small city, we have enough room to have a little bit of everything for everybody. And my focus on the city council will be updating our zoning and our planning policies. That's my profession, after all. And so that we have a space for everybody. And I would like to remind people that we decide the future of Lemon Grove by voting on leadership that not only has passion, but has the skills and actionable plans to transform that passion into more than words and dreams. So I truly believe that those skill sets I'm bringing to the table are in planning and urban design. I think that with supporting Measure T, we're going to have the revenues in order to have those plans take effect. I'd also like to say that I'm endorsed by Ask Me Local 127, who represents our city workers. I'm endorsed by the Building Trades Unions and the Labor Council. So if you'd like to learn more about my campaign and see a few more of my endorsements, you can go ahead and check those out. My website is www.voteSethSmith.com.
Thank you so much, Seth. And George Gastel, Councilman Gastel, looks like you have the last word today with your closing statement.
Thank you. Yeah, say I often tell people I was a middle child and I'm a team player, and everything I do is part of a group, and I'm really proud of the fact that I'm supported for my reelection by Mayor Vasquez, Councilmember Snow. They're running against each other, but they both support me. Seth Smith, our chair of our Planning Commission. I'm supported by former council member Jerry Jones, the most recent Republican to serve on the council. And I'm supported by Jennifer Mendoza, who, by the way, is planning to retire in 2 years, and she wants to make sure that there are strong people on the council. I'm really proud of the fact that I have support from people that work with me. And I'm really proud of the fact that everything I do as part of a group that focuses on helping the residents of Lemon Grove. I'm the only candidate that's endorsed by both the firefighters and the deputy sheriffs and American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees Local 127, which is our public works employees. I'm proud to have their endorsement because they do so much great work for our city, and the fact that they want me on board to encourage them to do more, that encourages me. So, and I'm only looking for one more term, just one more term, so that I can help the residents of Lemon Grove. Keep in mind, you can vote for two. You can vote for the oldest candidate, me. You can vote for the youngest candidate, Seth Smith. And we don't mind being connected. And I tell people, different generations, but the same core values, doing positive things for our little city, Lemon Grove.
I really want to thank all of the candidates for participating tonight. It's clear that we have a strong slate of candidates here with diverse views, and each with their own strengths, their own ideas, their own qualifications. There's definitely going to be some new blood on the council because of the mayoral race where we've got two council members running against a mayor. So there's going to be at least one new face there. There could be two or three of them, depending on how things shake out. It's just so important for our democracy to have a civil discussion. I want to thank and praise all of the candidates for keeping it civil, keeping it polite. We can disagree with each other without attacking each other. And I think after what we see sometimes at other levels of politics, it's very refreshing to see that in a small town like Lemon Grove. And thank you to everyone out there who is listening or watching. The live stream will be available. It'll be staying up on our Facebook page when this ends, along with you'll be able to see the live stream of the mayoral debate earlier as well. And we'll also be putting both of those up on our website at eastcountymagazine.org for those of you who may have friends that missed hearing this tonight. So thank you to all of the candidates for being willing to let the voters hear from you on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ. And good luck to each of you in your Lemon Grove City Council race.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.